Winston Planning Commission meeting, July 19th, 2023.
Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we need to do a formal who's here type thing?
Roll call, please. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Mike DeRussian.
Mark Stevens.
Brendan Morgan. Cindy Eastburn.
Steve Johnson.
And Thomas McIntosh, staff.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening. And comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the Planning Commission as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity, personal affronts. The Commission reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Community Development Department report.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission, members of the audience. So a couple things for you. First of all, I want to thank the commission for all the work that they did on the process and adoption of our TSP and HNA acronyms, the Transportation System Plan Update and our Housing Needs Analysis. A lot of data that went into that and a lot of work. We are coming up on our last meeting with our transportation engineers and just an amazing group of folks. And it's a concluding meeting because it got all the way through council. It was adopted by virtue of an ordinance. And there's a lot of work culminating around that. So you participated to it. It's a process that's going to send a positive ripple effect, opens a lot of doors. To grant money, to identifying deficiencies so you can go after strategies on how to fix it. So really appreciate the work. You should feel good about the work that you did there. So the next thing I just want to touch on briefly is since the implementation of new construction methods dealing with tiny homes, we have been inundated with questions and from developers, from property owners. It's been a challenge because we don't have any language in our code dealing with tiny homes. It's a nuanced type development. And it's been a challenge because the way these tiny homes are constructed, they're constructed in a warehouse, they're inspected at the warehouse level, and they're either made like manufactured homes or RVs. They have a transportation unit on them. So therefore, we have to treat them like an RV. But now what folks are doing is they're taking the unit off, they're plopping it down and putting skirting on there, like a manufactured home. The problem with our ordinance is that manufactured homes on individual lots are required to be 1,000 square feet and multi-sectional. And that was meant to transition away from single-wide type units. So we are recommending and we are urging the council to offer approval to move forward with crafting language to allow tiny homes, but in a specific way, in a way that would work together with the rest of our development code. It's previously been a challenge because the temperature of the city, there's a lot of folks that don't want to see a tiny home village. That's just the reality of it. So, but we do need to figure out some code language to address it, because it's right now the city is, we just have to educate them in the fact that there is no language and there's no provisions available to offer it. So not necessarily looking for a motion, just a consensus on how the commission feels about that. Maybe you've had some exposure yourself with researching the tiny home option, whether for you or for someone else or whatever it may be. So I want to open up the discussion.
We started looking into that
I have an acre of land. My son wants to put a tiny home on there. So we've been looking at the options, and like I couldn't find necessarily anything in the ordinances that covered anything except like the RV. So I wasn't sure where that was going, so I think it's definitely something we need to address.
Okay, yeah. And we could talk on that. There's an accessory dwelling unit option available that allows, yeah.
Would that accessory unit, would that fit in, the tiny home fit within that scope?
There's still, if the tiny home is got an insignia on there and it's being placed on a foundation and skirting, then the structure itself is by definition a manufactured home. So even if they're applying for an ADU, an accessory dwelling unit, it would still have to meet that. The ADU is required to have 50% or less of the gross floor area of the main home. It's meant to be accessory.
Right.
So if you have a 2,000 square foot house, you could have a 1,000 square foot ADU. So it's 50 or 1,000, whichever is less. So we still run into that manufactured home provision issue. So we really have to look at saying, yeah, manufactured homes are 1,000 square feet or multi-sectional unless you have a tiny home, and then it follows this provision, this criteria. We have to conjure that criteria up based on what other cities are doing to address that issue. But we can talk on that if you want avenues in that regard, but the issue still stands. We still got to look at code language, I think.
Does Roseburg have any rulings on that in their code?
Mm-hmm. They do. They follow the State Building Codes Division, which has adopted inspection criteria and allowances. Based, of course, they don't have the 1,000 square feet multi-sectional rule. They've got kind of a catalyst of different stuff you got to do if you have a manufactured home. So they don't normally have to deal with that, but they have tiny home language in their code that they've adopted. They did it last year.
So
we can glean from that.
Can we learn from that?
Absolutely.
Get a copy of that and see what they say.
That's a great idea.
I think Medford has something along that line, too. Mm-hmm. It's either Medford or Talent or one of those that had a lot of the fire damage. They have the temporary housing things of these tiny houses because they brought them in, you know, months before FEMA ever got their act together and got those FEMA houses in.
Mm-hmm.
And but it kind of follows along with the FEMA provisions.
Yeah, we can open it up and look at what other cities are doing, but in order to open the research project up, we just wanted to understand if it's a direction that the commission would want to go.
And I think it's important that we do so.
Okay.
Becoming very
down in, I think it was Talent, because my brother and sister-in-law lives down there.
I seem to remember something about that too. Talent was
yeah.
A big thing with the little homes or tiny homes.
And they had up to four of them on a lot. Maximum of four on a
mm-hmm.
lot. And they,
so many dwelling units per acre,
homes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think Albany just, like in the last couple months, literally just passed an ordinance on Albany.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to listen to what Albany.
Yeah, I mean, we can look at that. Typically, when we open it up, we're going to look at cities that are comparable size, like Vinita or Brookings. Or
yeah, that's
we look at those. And then we do an expansive search because larger cities, 20,000 or 25,000 or more, they're going to have their criteria is going to be expanded in a significant regard to cover all the dynamic issues. Cities like ours, what are they doing? How are they addressing it? What does their code language look like for tiny homes? There's some good avenues out there, I think. So we will take that as a yes and move forward and try to bring some research back to you, potentially do a workshop on it, on what language would look like, what you prefer, what the citizenry would prefer. So next on here, and this may foster a little heartburn, but I want to share it with you anyway, and council has already been filled in. There was a previous land use application for a 89-space RV park. And as you can recall, it went through, was denied by this body, went through to council, was approved, But one of the issues that came up was the statutory requirement limiting the length of stay for approved RV or mobile home parks. Previously, after the fact, city staff just happened to glean on a similar process that was taking place in Coquille, the city of Coquille. And they had their city attorney come, and the developer used the same ORS 197.423 provision, which essentially says that a state agency or local government may not prohibit the placement or occupancy of a recreation vehicle or impose any limit on the length of stay of a recreational vehicle or residential dwelling as a recreational vehicle. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is because that was brought up, the city attorney, their city attorney, did an expansive research project, and she brought forth two cases that went all the way up to the Land Use Board of Appeals. One is Reeder versus Multnomah County, 2009. Part of that case lists in there, in the opinion, and I quote, "In Reeder, the court stated that legislative history reveals that the purpose of ORS 197.492 through 493 is to prohibit imposing occupancy limits on RV use solely on the grounds that the occupancy is in a recreational vehicle. The court stated that this obviously suggests that occupancy limits may be imposed for other legitimate reasons." So what that means is these LUPA cases essentially clarify that if you're wanting to put a limitation on a length of stay simply because they want to live in an RV for a long-term period of time for residential purposes, you can't do that because of the housing shortage. It does not prohibit you of limiting the length of stay for other legitimate reasons, such as offsetting the detriment on infrastructure to collect TRT, transient room tax, so 30 days or less. So what we did with this, at the behest of the council and our mayor, and I apologize if this is pontificating, but what we did was we looped in our city attorney and we made a decision based on what we feel is ironclad in the law. And we reached out to the property owner that's going to build the park, and we sent him a letter. We are going to limit the RV park spaces to 30 days and collect full transient room tax on that particular, regardless of the land use process. We're going to, from there, the research process kind of sprawled into what do we do with the existing three RV parks. That's where we are now. We're looking at what other cities are doing. We're looking at what the options are, because those have been permanent for some time, so they could be considered pre-existing. And when RV parks are permanent, they really have more of the makeup of a mobile home park in terms of not aesthetics, they're RVs, but the makeup of the park is essentially, by definition, a mobile home park. So that's what happened in a boiled down nature. There's been a lot of information coming in every direction. When I was turned on to this, I couldn't ignore it. So we had to close the loop on it and make sure that if it's something that we can impose on the park, the property owner doesn't appear to have an issue with it, although during the public hearing process he did. But my verbal conversation with him, he didn't appear to have an issue with us collecting 6% off the top of his gross income on all spaces. Not the cabins, just the transient. So what we also need to do on this, and I'll open this up for discussion, is our recreational vehicle park definition and our ordinance needs to be altered to factor in transient language. RV parks are transient. Transient means 30 days or less. So our code needs to reflect that. So that'll be part of, if we look at this tiny home language change, we would be factoring that in as well as part of the legislative amendment process. So happy to take any questions in regards to RV parks and length of stay and transient room tax.
I'm all for limiting the usage, or at least getting back the funds that we spend on those in such areas as sewer, such areas as different state income that comes in. We don't get anything for the people that's in transient housing.
Right.
We don't get state shared revenue.
Nope. None of that.
If a person lives in an apartment up here, they're paying sewer for that bathroom. And the RV parks are paying, what, 6 or 8 to 1?
Mm-hmm.
That's unfair.
It's fractional, yeah.
It's very, very unfair. And I know we tried to do that back in the early 2000s, and we just didn't get very far. But if you can get the teeth on that, because we're losing tens of thousands of dollars a year just out of our sewer fees.
Mm-hmm.
And then on state shared revenue, over the past 10 years, a few hundred thousand, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. All that gets counted based on population. You yep. can't count those in population. So the gas tax, I mean, that's just one of many. And the fact is we went through a public hearing process, and we understand that the conditional use permit for an RV park was a development opportunity that was available in the zone as a conditionally permitted use. That's acknowledged by the city. It was given up, but we have an entire area over there that's concerned with the potential future development. And if we are able to limit the length of stay to 30 days or less, then the park has more of a propensity of staying nice, because you have a cycle in and out. You have less people that are setting up shop permanently, and which typically have an inclination of deterioration and depreciation in every regard. So that, and if we can't collect anything, 30 days or less means we could collect transient room tax at least. That's something to offset the detriment on the infrastructure.
And maybe have the council take and re-look at the sites that go over those 30 days of collecting more in the area of sewage fees, and also figure out a way, if it's done through the tiny house community, maybe it can be done through that to get it so that maybe they can have a residency. Except those RV parks, they're built in floodways and flood zones,
mm-hmm.
and they're supposed to be ready to move within.
They're supposed to be road ready, quick disconnect, yeah.
And there's ones that they don't even have tires on them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They've got decking around them, and none of that's supposed to be legal.
Yeah, we send them a letter every year from compliance indicating that, hey, the FEMA rules indicate, you know, XYZ, but it's a problem.
Yes.
And so, yes, all of the above. I don't know how it was previously done. We have 3 pre-existing RV parks, but city staff has been inundated in trying to make sure we do this one right, and we use all of the arrows in our quiver to mitigate any concerns that citizens may have. Even though it may be a conditionally permitted use. Go ahead.
Would this need to be an amendment to our ordinances?
No, because we approved an RV park. We didn't approve a mobile home park, so that we're not touching that. I don't think there's any stake in doing that. We just need to amend our code to reflect that this is what we define RV parks. They're temporary. What we don't know what the pre-existing ones are is which direction we're going to go. Right, when you're putting in for transient room tax, it's an honor system thing. It's a one pager. You remember how that goes?
Oh yeah.
We give them a one pager, and they fill out what their gross income was for that month, and they say, you know, so at one time we were collecting from them, but now they're reporting that they don't have anybody that's 30 days or less, so they don't give us any transient room tax. So what we should be able to lean on is to say our policy is 30 days or less. So if you have people going beyond that, then that's a compliance issue. But we're still going to collect on the entire park. Because it should be
all of it. Yeah.
But I don't know how solid that is, and I don't want to tell tales out of school. We're gonna close the loop and flush that completely out.
Sounds like we need a couple of workshops.
Yeah, and we will. Planning Commission was intricately involved in this because of the land use application. All of them, there was an expansion 10 or 12 spaces to the Umpqua RV park some years back. Maybe you were on. I know Rob probably was on at that time. And so this is going to come up. It will. So So that's all I had on that. Thank you for commission for letting me fill you in on a few of those things. There's a couple more things I could talk on, but we've got another meeting coming up on August 2nd, and we will keep the commission apprised.
Under old business, we have the findings of fact. Chad Northcraft requesting a conditional use permit for a home occupation regarding a brewery operation. Subject property is described as tax lot 2401, section 21, Alpha Alpha, Township 28 South, Range 6 West, MW, property ID number R62829. The property is located directly off Jordan Street, adjacent to the intersection with Northeast Darrell Avenue and inside city limits of Winston. The property is designated 3.0 dwelling units per acre and zoned RLA residential low density. Planning Department file number 23-W001. Is there anything new on that particular one?
No, we just, as you can recall, you held a public hearing on May 3rd and gave a tentative approval by virtue of a motion. So these are the findings that would issue that and offer a 12-day appeal period. Happy to answer any questions on the nature of these findings, as well as these 7 conditions of approval.
He's carrying through with it.
What's that?
He's carrying through with
it. He is. Here. Yep. If you can recall, it's a brewery operation in his garage with no employees, no additional traffic, and transporting the contents off-site. He has a business in Roseburg and an agreement with North 40 Brewing to where he would provide them something to put on tap.
According to this information, he was supposed to install a backflow preventer?
Right, so those are the conditions. This offers the findings. This doesn't close out the file or perfect it. This just essentially augments your tentative approval and cycles through a 12-day appeal period, and then he is free to fulfill those conditions. Once those conditions are fulfilled and we get proof of those, then that would be perfecting the file completely, which includes the backflow device. That we need proof from Winston-Diller Water District that he's done that per their specifications.
Okay, and then the next one is new business.
Need a motion on the findings?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Motion on the findings.
I move accept the findings.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. We are removing the public hearing from the agenda due to a noticing issue and or error. It will be placed on the August 2nd Planning Commission agenda.
Okay. Is there any other business? That was a